From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, corn. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Allison Stewart. It is Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. Have you ever been to the Corn Palace in South Dakota?
No, have you?
I have. It's fantastic.
Why in the world did you go there?
Actually, went for my birthday one year. My birthday is the 4th of July. A friend and I met in South Dakota, and we drove across South Dakota and got to Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July. And
we stopped
at all these really cool places, you know.
Like the Corn Palace.
Like the Corn Palace. There's a new documentary out. It's called King of Corn. Two Yale grads, they found out they were cousins during making this documentary.
Hello.
Returned to their roots in Iowa. They wanted to see what happens when they got an acre of land and planted corn. They wanted to follow corn through our food system. It's a little bit political. It's a little bit personal. We're going to talk to one of the fellows who made the documentary, as well as the director of the documentary. We'll give them an opportunity to tell us what they think. We'll poke them a little bit on some of their points of view, because it's an interesting documentary, but there's I wonder if it's a little Morgan Spurlock-esque in the way. I don't know if they went into this with preconceived ideas about corn and corn production in this country or not. So we just need to ask them.
We'll find out
what's going on.
Also, coming up on the show, we're going to have a conversation with a friend of the BPP. Her name is Emily Meehan, and she's a freelance reporter in Africa. She was on our show more than a month ago when she was preparing to go move to Nairobi, Kenya, and report for various news outlets on Somalia and Kenya. She was just about to do a profile on a teacher in Somalia, and then she got a report that he and some of his staff were killed just a couple of days ago, just right before she was supposed to go meet with him. And she will join us to tell us any more details she's found out about that and how it's affected her decision to go and the risks that she takes over there.
It is also New Music Tuesday on the list. What a variety of music. Everything from a band called The Kooks to Mariah Carey, who some people think was a kook.
Ooh,
do you remember she went through that kooky phase? No, she did.
It was a phase?
Yeah, didn't she? And then The Emancipation of Mimi came out, and she had this huge $10 million selling rate. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about Mariah, The Kooks, Black Francis, with our good friend Andy Langer from Esquire. We'll also get to today's headlines in just a minute, but first.
This is a different type of merger, combining the two strongest U.S. carriers, both bringing great worldwide networks, tremendous employees, and successful strategies.
That's Delta Airlines CEO Richard Anderson talking about the merger between Delta and Northwest that was approved by the company's directors last night.
Now, they still have a bunch of regulatory and labor-related hoops to jump through, but if the merger holds, it will create the world's largest airline worth more than $17 billion. They would call it Delta. And it would be based in Atlanta.
This merger has been on the table for a while, but 2 months ago it looked like it was dead. David Field, U.S. editor for Airline Business Magazine, tells NPR that since then, things for the airlines have gone from bad to worse.
I interviewed the president, the number two, at Delta on February 29th, and he was saying then, yeah, we can make money on our own. We can make money at $100 oil. But it's 6 weeks since then. Not only is oil up and staying up, but people are starting not to fly. The economy is going into a downturn. And one of the first things that dies is discretionary travel.
Nahandra Lindsay, a Delta frequent flyer, says she could tell the airline was feeling the pinch.
Delta, you could see it from, you know, just cutting a few of their services, things that they're asking you to pay for more.
Lindsay also says she hopes the merger won't mean higher fares, but she fears it might. David Field says it takes years for merger dust to settle and for the real impact to be felt.
You get some immediate savings by cutting out a headquarters, cutting out a fair number of flights, and in the creation of a network. But yeah, it takes years to get the full synergies. And I hope people can hear the quote marks around the word synergy.
I heard him. So Delta and Northwest have coupled up, although the marriage is not yet consummated. But the Houston Chronicle reports that when, and if it is, Delta/Northwest's new status as the world's largest airline might not last
long. They say a deal between United and Continental is widely expected, possibly within weeks.
This double whammy of mergers would drop American Airlines, currently the nation's largest carrier, down to third. One industry expert told the Chronicle, quote, American is like the last one at the dance. Well, American, this one's for you.
Oh, flower, won't you dance with me? I'm sad and lonely too.
You can keep tabs on this story at npr.org. Now let's get some more of today's headlines.